Brother Jim was talking about our heavenly mansion, and I tell you what, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. Amen. Just look what we're leaving behind and what's in store for us. Man, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. It's going to be spectacular. It's going to be better than you and I have ever dreamed of. September the 7th is Daddy's birthday. And I was thinking about it. That's one more reason. Got a lot of reasons. A lot of my family's already gone. But the main thing is I'm going to get to see Jesus. No wonder it's going to take an eternity, because it's going to take me the better part of an eternity just to thank him. Amen, personally, for what he's done. Heaven sounded sweeter all the time. Oh, life's been so good, I can't complain. When I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. But I'm weary from the struggle of it all, so I listen for his call. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time, seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. I know it's hard to lose a loved one to the grave, but we have the blessed hope that Jesus gave. God's gonna wipe every tear from our eyes when we meet in that land beyond the sky. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time, seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. One of these days I'm gonna leave this world behind. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. It's gonna be a sweet place, a wonderful place. Amen. Say goodbye to all the trouble, the strife, the sorrow, the sickness, the sadness, and no more death. Praise God. That's a wonderful thing to think about, how much Jesus loved us so much that he went away to prepare us a place that where he is, amen, we may be also. Trust and hope that you have a good week this week. You look like you're having a great week. So glad to have each and every one of you here tonight on a Wednesday night. Just good to fellowship. You know, and the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, praying one for another. You know, and I hope that we are praying one for another. How many knows we need prayer during this day and hour that we're living in? Amen. We often talk about on our Friday morning get together, our little devotional that we have, and we're reading a book and studying a book on prayer. And, you know, prayer sometimes is just a kind of a time to really not ask God for anything, just to worship and praise him and communicate with him. And, you know, we always talk about communication as a two-way avenue. So many times we think prayer is just God listening to us, But how many know sometimes prayer can be us listening to God? Amen. And God will give us that answer. He'll give us that comfort. He'll give us that guidance and direction. And I'm so thankful for the honor and privilege that we have, but that we can become before the throne of grace and begin to communicate with the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to go to a very familiar psalm. Yes. Sure. Amen. Bless him, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Well, glory. Don't you love it when God answers prayers? Amen. And Gentry's going to be just fine. He's gonna make a lot more friends, and he's going to do really, really well. I talked to him a while ago and asked him how he's liking school, and he nodded his head. You know, give me a fist pump. That's good. Amen. You know. That's good to enjoy school. You might as well enjoy it now because it's a long road, ain't it? Especially when you had to repeat every grade like I did. But no, not really. Thank God. Thank God and Penny we got through it. The 46th chapter of the book of Psalms. I may just read the entire chapter. It's not that long. But I want to focus on verses 1, 2, 3, and also verse number 10. But it's all good. Psalms 46. God is. Everybody say God is.
God is.
Say it again.
God is.
Not God was. Not God will be. God is. That's I am God, isn't it? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Can we bow our heads? Brother Walter, would you ask the Lord blessing tonight? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated tonight. From this passage of Scripture tonight, I want to bring a message or a topic or subject that I think is very relevant, especially in the time that you and I are living in today. Many's ever heard the saying or maybe uttered the saying, there's just not enough time to get it all done. Just don't have enough time to get this situation or that situation. My daddy used to tell me, he said, son, they're still making the same amount of time than it always was. It's just that we try to crowd too much into that time space. And sometimes we get a little flustered. Sometimes we get a little perplexed.
and especially when things do not go seemingly the way that we would like them to go. So tonight, from this passage of Scripture, I want us to take the very first script, the very first verse, and join it to verse number 10. And from that, I want to bring my message titled, Be Still, Even in Trouble. Be still, even in trouble. I mean, I notice there's a lot to be said by being still and being calm. Amen? How many thinks that you can actually think better or operate better when you're in a calm position or when your nerves are calmed down? I mean, has ever made a decision when you thought, well, I should have not made it so fast. I should have just kind of took a deep breath and kind of thought it over and made the decision under different circumstances. You know, so many times we and God does want us to be still, and God does want us to be calm. But as we read into this, and this particular still here, according to the Hebrew definition, basically means slacken, let down, or to cease. Actually, it denotes combat, or it denotes a wrestling match, or when two sides were fighting, and then a mediator stepped in, and he calls them to be still. In other words, to let down. We have a term today, and you probably, if you've read any of the newspapers or heard any of the news media today, or you have a term that says stand down. The military may use it. Police officers may use it. It basically means do not advance, do not anything, stand your position, but stand down. And when we read this, we read it then in a different connotation than we would just to be calm and don't worry. Understand there's a time to be calm. Understand there's a time not to worry and to put it in the hands of the Lord. But here, the psalmist basically uses this terminology that was actually applied to more than times than not to a military action when he said, be still, and then also be still and know that I am God. How many knows that God is on our side? How many knows that God will even fight our battles? We hear about it, we read about it, we sing songs about it. We can even give personal testimonies on how that God has stepped in and intervened on our behalf and took up the battle, amen, and many times took the battle completely out of our hands and just made it victorious, amen, for us. So here, be still, and even in time of trouble. When actually I begin to think about some things, and I begin to think about how we react to trouble. Now, trouble can come in a many different directions or different ways that trouble. Sometimes it can be actually danger. Sometimes it can be frustration. Sometimes it can just be tiredness. Other times it can come, you know, out of the clear blue. How many has ever said, boy, it just kind of came out of the clear blue. You know, just that's something you wasn't expecting. People handle trouble in different ways. Some people get really, really upset. Some people get really anxious and nervous. But here's some things that I began to apply myself so many times when I thought back over the years when I began to face trouble. And again, trouble can be a number of different things. Let me just say this. What troubles someone may not be an issue whatsoever to another person. That doesn't mean it's more severe or even less severe. That means people handle different situations in different ways. Some people say, oh, I don't know. Why you let that bother you? Y'all just shake that off. Well, you don't understand. You're not in that person's shoes. You don't know what predicament they're in. You don't know what situation they're in. And you don't know how it's affecting them personally or even emotionally. So the first thing that I wrote down, when trouble it faces me, or when trouble comes at me, one of the first things as I begin to think about it, and I spent a lot of time trying to analyze that this week on my own, taking environment or inventory of my own self on how I react to trouble, and I realized that one of the first things that happens in my life when trouble rears its ugly head is there is an increase in adrenaline. Many knows what adrenaline is. It's a rush in your body. And it actually denotes that you need to do something. You need to act. You need to react. You need to handle the situation. And in other words, if you're sleeping and the wife hits you in the ribs with an elbow and said, did you hear that noise? I will assure you, you're probably not the calmest person in the world at that particular time. There's probably an adrenaline rush that goes with that, or lightning striking or thunder pretty close to the house or something. There's always something that causes a reaction in our life. And one of the first things that happens, and I'm speaking for myself, is there is an adrenaline rush. And then after that adrenaline rush, that causes us to want to do something, want to act. And yet, what I'm trying to get to is so many times when we have issues, the first thing we want to do is fix it. Amen? Can I get a testimony? Can I get a witness? Any of you men want to fix it as soon as it happened? If you hear a knocking in your motor or something going on, you know, the first thing you do or want to do is to address that trouble, address that issue, and do something about it. So adrenaline kicks in, and then sometimes after the adrenaline kicks in, it is followed by worry and fear. Now we like to say that we're Christians and we don't worry about situations, we don't worry about problems and troubles, but let's get real here. When the trouble is severe, when the trouble is to a point that it gets our attention, sometimes we do worry a little bit. Amen? We worry a little bit. And sometimes that worry brings on fear, and then that fear is, you know, how long is this trouble going to last? How long am I going to have to endure this? And again, that trouble can be a number of different things. That trouble can be something at work. That trouble can be something in the neighborhood. That trouble can be something in your life. That trouble can be bad news from a doctor or whatever that trouble is, whatever that situation is. We want it fixed and we worry about it. And when so many times we don't really know what to do or not what to handle. Then the third thing that I wrote down, and again, this may not apply to everybody, but I was trying to be as honest and sincere with myself as I possibly could. And write down the things that go through my mind or through my spirit when trouble rears again its ugly head. And the third thing was self-protection. We're going to do what we can to protect ourselves in any situation, in an emergency, in a problem. It doesn't matter if it's an accident we have. One of the first things we're going to do is going to try to protect ourselves, or should. That's what I was thinking. Of course, your family and all that too. But, you know, when that trouble and you're facing it, first thing you want to do is you want to just self-protection from whatever it is. And that also applies to things, amen, that Satan brings on us. You know, we don't like troubles. We don't like trials. We know sometimes they're necessary. We understand that sometimes through trials and adversity, we actually grow stronger in the Lord. But that's still an unpleasant situation to get to the ends that God wants us to. But when trouble first rears its ugly head, when it first faces us, so many times we go through these emotions, and one of the next things we want to do is protect ourselves. I don't believe I could get anybody to raise their hand and say, man, I just love being hurt. I love it when people talk about me. I love it when people just say all manner of things about it. It really excites me. I've never met anybody that's like, one of the first things we do, we want to self-protect. We want to guard ourselves on our feelings. We want to guard ourselves on physical hurt or all of these other things. Then, the next thing I wrote down after I realized that I needed to protect myself, I'm looking for a way out. When trouble comes, I'm ready to get it over with. How about you? I don't like for it to endure long and long and long. You know, the storm that's just come, and they said that one of the slowest moving storms that's been on record. It just sat there over the Bahamas and just rained down on them. The wind was awful, and it did a lot of devastation. And I guess the best description of that storm came from a commentator on television. You may have heard it yourself. He said, basically, it's like being stalked by a turtle. Think about it. I said, that's exactly, he nailed it. That's exactly, I mean, the fear, that's pretty good, ain't it? I wish I'd have come up with that, but I didn't. But he said, yeah, watching that thing, Dorian, churn, and you know how much slow, you know, you turn it on every day, and that thing hadn't even moved. It's just, he said, it's like being stalked by a turtle, knowing that inevitably it's going to do some damage somewhere, but it's just not moving. And so many times when we have problems like that, sometimes it's like that circular wind. It just gets on our head and it just comes and just, I mean, it's just like, man, when's this thing going to get over? It's almost like walking around with that proverbial cloud over your head. And you know what? You know, you think you're the only one that's affecting. No, it's affecting those around you. It's affecting your family members and all. So I look for a way out. And so many times it's, God, help me get out of this. I've done all I can do. I'm fighting. I'm raging. I'm wrestling to try to get up, to self-protect, to understand what to do, and to get this problem and this issue and the situation behind me and get through it and get victory again and glorify and praise the Lord. I'm looking for a way out of this trouble or out of this situation. Then, inevitably, and this is me speaking for myself, I begin to look for the reason why I'm facing this trouble. And so many times it's going back to God. God, why? Why am I going through this? Why is this happening? Why is this circular cloud over my head and it's just completely bombarding me with situation after situation after situation? I want to get out of it. God, I'm calling on you to help me. But I want to know why. Why am I going through this? You know why I want to know why? Because I don't want to do it again. I don't want to go through that. I don't want to have that turmoil. So the last thing I do is I try to avoid a repeat episode. Or repeat event. I'm never going to let this happen to me again. Anybody ever said that? I'm going to beware the next time that I even see this about to happen. I'm not going to let it happen. I'm not going to be treated like that. I'm not going to face that situation anymore. I'm not going to put myself in that place of being hurt or whatever it is. Now, I said this because I did put a lot of time and thought into how that trouble sometimes affects me. And out of all of those situations, some singular thing kind of came to the forefront. In all of those situations, I'm trying to do something about it. It's me. It's my adrenaline that's flowing. It's my worry and my fear. It's my self-protection. It's my way of seeking a way out. It's my way of looking why this happened. It's my way of saying, I'll never let this happen anymore. And all of a sudden I realized that not in one of those incidents, I asked God, why am I going through it? I asked God to help me. But in not one of those singular places that I write down there, did I really release that to God and be still. Not just be still and not do nothing, but stand down, slacken, be still, and know that I am God. Be still. Quit fighting. Quit worrying. Quit wrestling. Quit trying to do everything yourself. Quit trying to work it out. Quit trying to ask you the reason why it happened and just have faith in God and say, God, I am going to be still. I'm going to stand down and I'm going to give it to you. Because listen what he said. God is our refuge. Amen. God is in the midst of her. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come on. We got a God that is with us constantly, 24/7, whatever the problem, whatever the situation. So many times God is our last thing that we turn it over to. After we've done all these other things to try to fix the issue, try to fix the problem, then finally we realize, God, I'm just going to stand down. I'm going to have peace in my soul, and I'm going to be still, and I'm going to let you work it out for me. Then God takes over. Aren't you glad when God takes over? Now, I know, be still. There's a lot of little cards that says, be still and know that I am God. And they always depict this wonderful, beautiful picture of a calm river or a calm stream. And that does have its place. But here, if you read the Hebrew, this was not just kind of be still. This was kind of just let go and let me have it. Turn it over to me. Let me do it. Because here, if you read where David was writing, basically the reason he was writing in this frame of mind that he was writing is because he was being bombarded with enemies all around him. They were constantly trying to come over and take his kingdom. They were constantly trying to defeat him. So he began to write these things. Very first thing, he wrote the truth. He said, God is our refuge. God is our refuge. I love this. And strength and a very present help in trouble. Let me ask you, have you ever been in a predicament when you said, I wished I'd have had that in the car with me? Come on. Anybody? Wished I'd have had those jumper cables. I wished I'd have had that whatever it was. You know, somebody once told me, he said, you know, you need to always have a little survival pack in the back of your car or truck. One. Amen. To me, That means some Sprites or bottled water, probably better. Snicker bars. Amen. Snickers will get you through a lot of problems and trouble. It's a great survival food. But what else? A warm blanket, a flashlight, all of those wonderful things like that, because they're a very present help in time of trouble. But let me tell you, the best preparation that you can have, regardless of all the other survival kits that you put together, and that is faith and trust in an Almighty God. Amen. And I never leave home without Him. Glory to God. He's with me everywhere that I go. I can count on Him being there. I can trust Him. The only thing, so many times, I need to understand, Lord, okay, I'm just going to let You take care of it. Amen. Because all those things I listed, that was me trying to fix the situation. That was me trying to make things better. That was me understanding, you know, I got to self-protect because I don't like to get hurt. I don't like to be down. I don't like to be beside myself. God, I want to trust more in You. And this applies in any situation, certainly in an emergency situation, but sometimes when it's just a spiritual matter, sometimes when you really can't seem to get the reason why it's happening or what's going on, you just know that something's not right and something's eating at you. And, it could come on slowly or gradually. And sometimes you can just kind of get up in the morning and there it is. It's facing you, a brand new situation. But I believe this applies with any situation and any trouble, because He says, here's again, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, that river of peace that God gives us. So I encourage each and every one of us to be still, not just be still, but be still and know that I am God, this scripture. And He says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Somebody tell me what a refuge is in your mind. A safe place, a stronghold, a great safe habitat, one that's kind of free from turmoil and strife and problems and situations. And I know we talk about it all the time. There's a place where we can have the calmness of the Lord. You remember when Jesus was in the boat and disciples woke Him up for fear that they was perishing. What did He say to the wind? Peace, be still. Be still. Stand down. Quit raging. Quit roaring. Amen. Sometimes when God says be still, then what we need to do is learn to release it and give it to Him. You know, sometimes when your children are trying to do something, you say, here, just let me have it. Let me have it. You know how it is, they don't want to let go of it because they want to do it themselves. And I begin to think, Lord, we preach about it, we read about it, but then when we're faced with it, we react. Why do we react? Because we're humans, because of flesh. We know God's able, and we know that if we release it to Him, God's going to fix it. But so many times we just say, well, God, I'll just try to do it myself. How many knows that usually makes it worse? And it does make it last longer if we'll just learn to release it to start with and give it to God and know then that, Lord, I'm just going to be still. I'm going to step down. I'm going to stand down, and I'm going to quit wrestling with it. And I read one writer said, basically, why do we continue to fight a battle we know we can't win? Why is that? Is it just human nature? Maybe partially pride, or is it just flesh? And I'm just kind of speaking honestly to us, because so many times we don't give God a chance because we try every other avenue before we finally release it to God. And then we realize, you know what? If I'll just get out of the way. Amen. Sometimes that's a hard prayer to pray too, because when we're getting out of the way, that's saying, Lord, you know, You just fix it the way You want to and it'll be right. Because if I tell You to fix it this way, it's probably going to be wrong anyway, because I've already tried my way and my way's not working. So sometimes when the Spirit speaks to us and tells us to be still, you know what that means? Stand down. Quit wrestling. Quit tussling with it. Just by faith, call it done in the name of Jesus. Isn't faith something? Isn't it great? God honors faith. Amen. He rewards faith. And sometimes faith is the hardest thing for a Christian to really, really exercise. But we all have faith. Every one of us is given a measure of faith. So how do we use that faith? Amen. We release it to God. Can you say amen? How many loves the Lord? Amen. Praise God. Give the Lord praise tonight if you would. There's a song that says, just only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. We sing that song sometimes, and I wonder if we really understand what we're singing when we says only all things are possible. Everything is possible with the Lord if we'll just believe. If you'd stand, we'll dismiss with this word tonight as this song. Let's do it in the key of, what the key that I usually do that in? G, I think. Only believe. Sing it with me. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only. As we sing that again, I want you to think in your life. There's a prayer that has maybe gone unanswered. If there's a situation in your life that you want to see God intercede or intervene, if you just want to feel more of God in your life and you want to be closer to Him, whatever your request is, whatever your petition is, as you put that in your heart and your mind, then I want you to take the next step and I want you to believe that God's going to do it. Not only that He can do it, but God is going to do it. And as you do that, sing this song with us. Lord, I believe. Sounds so simple, don't it? Sing, only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Now I want us to take that step of faith and I want us to sing it like this. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Do you believe? Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. God bless you. We love you from the depths of our heart. Just believe. God can do the impossible. The things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. Does anyone need prayer tonight? We do not want to leave without giving you an opportunity to come forward. If you need prayer for any situation, we'll certainly pray with you. If not, if you have a request of prayer, Sister Jessica. That trouble never comes at convenient times. It always seems to come, and like Daddy said, it comes in bunches like bananas. And so many times it's overwhelming. And we do have these physical reactions to it, or I do. You know, first thing we want to do is all these things that I listed. rather than just be still and just turn it over to God. So let's remember that prayer tonight. Does anyone else have a prayer request? Unspoken, just lift your hands. All right. Brother Jim, if you would come and dismiss us with a word of prayer, and let's remember this. You said Michelle's situation. How many believes that God can touch that? Amen. Intervene with that. God knows the situation. Amen. All he needs is our faith to put the forward.